What if you could unlock the extraordinary power within you? Join us on our Human Potential podcast as we explore the limitless possibilities, the holy trinity of mind, body, and spirit. Discover easy-to-action tips, inspiring stories, and expert advice to help you tap into your highest potential and live a life of purpose and fulfillment. For a free transformational tool, go to soulful-awakening.com/free.
Hi guys, and welcome to another episode of the Human Potential Podcast. I am here with Amrit Sandhu. Amrit's a coach, an author, a speaker, an all-round spiritual genius. Amrit, welcome. Welcome to the podcast, man. Great to have you here. Great to meet a fellow brother who's also contributing and elevating human consciousness and shares that vision, shares that desire. Great to hang out with you, man.
Touchwood, hi there. It is such a treat to be here. I love what you're up to in the world. And yeah, just really honored to be here, man. Thank you so much for having me. It is an absolute treat for me to be here. Thank you.
Cool. You're very welcome. Look, I always start off with getting to know the person. So I love to know your story, your background. What's inspired you to go on this journey? What was your crisis? What was your trauma? Was there a breaking point? Was there a tipping point where you're like, fuck, I need to do something with my life? Tell us.
Yeah. So the big one that I've had dark nights of the soul, two existential crises. And one of the biggest things that people find when they often ask me is, this is just my mates. I'm like, what's the biggest thing you've learned from the podcast? Like, you've been doing this for a while, Amrit. What are some of the things you've learned? It's just like one of those natural questions your mates will ask you. And one of the big things that I end up sharing with them is from the actual podcast, outside of running a podcast, which has taught me a whole bunch of stuff, but then also within the podcast, the biggest things that I've learned again and again is that our biggest challenge is our biggest gift. So I get guests on, like, someone was a maid, she was told she was never going to amount to anything. She becomes like a hypnotherapist for overcoming like limiting beliefs for celebrities, the royal family. And you're like, she conquered that challenge. Yeah. One of my other mentors at the moment, he's actually got Asperger's, but no one really knows. And then he's built this entire company where people get so much connection out of it. And it's like people with Asperger's struggle to connect. And so again and again, you see this story of like our biggest challenge forms our biggest gift in the world. All of that to say, I've had two pretty big challenges. I think you were asking the question around where the inspired evolution came to be from, but I think it's worth just highlighting both. And maybe I'll introduce them at a really touchstone level and then we can dive deeper into however you want to go in there. My first biggest challenge was I struggled with depression for about 6 years. And the gift that came from that challenge and gift, the gift that came from there was meditation and mindfulness, learning to basically live with meditation and mindfulness. The way I share this from stage is basically that meditation reconstituted my life. Think about reconstituted juice, definitely reconstituted the juice of my life, Dutchwood. And the second biggest challenge I had was career misalignment. It was 7 years of battering, living into everybody's expectations around me. Yeah, which was, again, super, super challenging. But now I look back and it was always meant to be that way. And so that then brought me to really coming home to the conversation around purpose, purposeful living, living spiritually aligned. And that's the big thing around the inspired evolution, is how to live a spiritually aligned life. And then we can discuss why that's important in this podcast as well, if that's important. But yeah, that's pretty much the second challenge is what gave birth to the Inspired Evolution podcast. But it's hard to say, oh yeah, the Inspired Evolution was just birthed out of career misalignment, because if it wasn't for the self-awareness that meditation mindfulness gave me from the first big challenge, Touchwood, I wouldn't have been that aware that something was completely off come around the second time. Yeah. But I remember I was literally in a job that really just wasn't aligned to my values, but I didn't have that languaging back then. It literally, the only way I could describe it, I'm conscious of words and the power they hold, so I try not to say it this way, but it felt soul-sucking. And the key thing is there was all these people that I was inspired by, coaches, speakers, authors, people like yourself doing amazing things in the world, and entrepreneurs, creatives, and I was just like, healers, and I was just like, dude, how are you living life on your own terms, like off the beaten path, but even more abundant than in impact and also in how you receive your monetary living and everything as well? What is this? Like, how are you doing that? You inspire me to the nth degree. And that was then like, okay, the Inspired Evolution podcast was born in that space with that frequency, with that energy. It was like, okay, I'm inspired by these people. I'm ready to evolve and I'm just going to interview these people week after week, now twice a week, see how I can evolve. And then touch wood, given not too long, actually, that sort of found me evolving into becoming a coach and a speaker in my own right. Yeah.
Oh, love that story. And there was a few things in there that as you were speaking, I was like, oh, this is interesting. Let's go deeper in that, into those subjects.
You're very
kind. One of them is your greatest challenge becomes your greatest gift in life. Mm-hmm. And that's a very prominent kind of affirmation in the world of personal development, personal growth, because I can attest to that and I can align to that statement. And for people who are not quite there, because for some people, and I'm going back to my own journey, it's like, okay, great. Conceptually, I get that, right? I can look at my challenges as being my greatest gift and my greatest opportunity to grow. And yet I'm still stuck in this shit. So when did that kind of change happen where you knew it on a conceptual level? And as you speak it, as you're speaking it, I can feel the truth of that, right? That there's an energetical vibration about, oh, wow, I could see that as my biggest gift.
Eager to jump in. Yeah. When I was going through it, I didn't know that. Like that, my biggest challenge was.
Point, and that's what you're trying to say.
One of the things I reflect upon is how would I have navigated it, knowing what I know now? Yeah, because it does happen now that I still come into challenges. And one of my favorite sayings, my friends find this, I'm this kooky guy, right? My friends will be like, Amrit, how are you going today? And I just can't tell you I'm having a shit day. I'm just like, I'm having a great day, but it's like not faking it. And so if I'm having a shit day, Amrit, how are you going? And it's okay. I'm having one of those days where I'm contemplating the saying or the thought concept that God doesn't give his biggest challenges to his best warriors. He creates his best warriors by giving them the biggest challenges. and it's like, you could have just said you're having a shit day, mate. No, I'm very conscious about how I say the words that I say. So all of that rigmarole I often reflect on how much of knowing that the challenge is then going to support your transformation robs you of the friction that is required for the spark of transformation to be lit. And that's this real existential, like we're getting Socrates now, like you're never gonna like actually nut that out. Yeah. But it comes back to, hey, just trust the process, surrender. It does help to know that your challenges are serving a greater purpose. Significantly so. Like I've been through some really dark places where I didn't know that. And now I still go through challenges, but there is a palpable sense. And plus, like having coached thousands of people, like you see the pattern, and it's annoying for some people. They come to these coaching calls one-on-one and they're explaining their existential crisis and they're in a challenge and I'm smiling and I'm like, huh? Doing what? Because the more they're telling me, the more I'm realizing how long they've been entrenched for. And I'm like, oh, you're about to spit out into some real good. But they're like, and I can tell that my smile is like contextually inappropriate. And I find myself having to apologize for the smile, touch wood, in that moment, because I'm sorry I'm smiling, but I'm so excited for where you're headed. So yeah, there's a knowing that your challenges lead to a gift is a really powerful mindset to have. Let's just say that. In this podcast for the human potential, like absolutely knowing that every challenge, and it's, I wouldn't even go as far as saying every dark cloud has a silver lining, because that just seems so
cliched.
Dark clouds seem so huge and the lining just seems so thin and wispy, but it's more stoic than that. It's like the obstacle is the way. So where there's the resistance, if you dive in there, like in that cave, mate, behind your fears lies all this amazing stuff.
Yeah, I love that. So just going back to as you're smiling, as this person is telling you their pain, their trauma, where they're entrenched are.
Not always, but generally.
So the point I want to get to is that for me, it's a very beautiful gift that you can hold that energy of, oh, I hear you and I see you and I want to meet you where you are right now. And wow, I'm so excited to take you on this journey of change and transformation because I see your potential. And that sounds like that's a gift of yours, right? A soul gift, as I like to call them.
Touch wood. It's well, I'm an engineer by qualification, so I'm building upon all the previous models that I've worked on and all the different people I've worked with. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's a sole gift of mine, but I remember when I was struggling with depression, touch wood, there was a particular person that believed in me when I didn't believe in myself.
Mm.
And I remember at the time, in some ways, it didn't matter at all that person believed in me, and in some ways, that made all the difference. Because at that particular point in time, once I'd been diagnosed with depression, I was completely apathetic for the next 6 to 8 months. I was just apathetic to life. It was like an apathy. It was just like I was here or I wasn't here. It didn't matter. And it's not a great place. It's a better place than where I previously was, which was in depression, looking back. But at the time, it was just like, okay, like, it was just, but during that process, there was someone that's, hey, I see you and I know you, the real you, and this ain't you. Yeah. Now, that sounds like it's gassing someone up and alluding to, but there is a subtlety of having done this enough to realize what the authentic arc of a person is and what is inauthentic, touch wood. And so that was like this touch wood, this incredible gift to have received. And I often reflect in coaching that if it wasn't for that person doing what they did for me, I don't think I'd be coaching the same way. And again, it's when I say it this way, it makes it sound like I believe more for people than they believe for themselves. And it's not really true. It's like people have this innate, deep inner knowing. One of my biggest fascinations is this deep inner knowing. It's deeper than intuition. Like certain people, like I'm sure if I was interviewing you and be like, what made you start a podcast? And you'd be like, man, it made no sense that I started a podcast, but it was just something in me that was just new. And it's like, what is that? I want to know that. I want to know about that. Like that thing that just knows. It's deep. It's divine. It's sacred. There's something in there. And now having worked with like thousands of people, you get to a point where you go, oh yeah, like I know. I now know that thing is bursting to come out of you. Society and all these stories and all these programs are in the way telling you to be something else. Can we just move them aside for a second? Just let this kick-ass version of yourself just come in there and do his thing, touch wood. So yes, like and maybe that's just me resisting your kind, generous calling it a soul gift. But nonetheless, I think there is that sort of saying with a musician. It's like people come up to the musician at the end of the concert and, oh, you're so talented.
Yeah.
Musicians, nah, man, I practice.
Yeah.
No, but you're so talented. It's, nah, man, I practice. And he gets frustrated because he's like, people keep calling me talented, but I spent hours practicing. There's a little bit of that frequency in there. So I've just worked with enough people now to notice the patterns that are there. Touch wood. Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Look, I could go even deeper on this, and I want to cover other topics that you've already touched upon. So I'm going to shift the conversation along to spiritual alignment, and just to go deeper into that and just very quickly, it's very divine that we're speaking right now, because I was spiritually unaligned in my work recently, 4 weeks ago, and I got fired from a job, and I've got a podcast out called You're Fired, which I explained the whole kind of process that led to that. And as soon as I exited that, I felt like I was in alignment again. I felt, oh, wow. I felt freedom. I felt a lot of things. I felt shame and anger and anxiety and whatnot. And the overriding feeling now, and even at the time, was thank fuck. And I did equate it to or correlate it to, I was so misaligned. And now I'm back in alignment. Now I'm back in my truth.
Can I ask a quick question about that, bro?
Yeah, sure.
By everyone else's standards, looking from the outside in, was that job like just everything that you were made for?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, really? Okay, cool.
Yeah. Absolutely not. No, it was in the world of finance and investment banking. That's my history, right? And then there's very specific circumstances why I went back into that. And it was like you said, and I'm going to use that word, it was soulish. It was sucking the life out of me.
But from other people's perspective, wasn't it like an amazing opportunity
for you? Oh, yeah. From other people's perspective, hater, what's going on, man? Like you're earning tons of money, right? Because
see what I mean? And that thing right there, bro, is just what gets me every single time. It's like from the outside looking in, people will just tell you, dude, you've made it. And this is where there's a whole other rabbit hole. And I'm conscious you're moving the conversation along. So let it go where you want it to go. Yeah. But, oh, sorry. And that I'll just quickly add on this. Success is not fulfillment. Absolutely. Success is left brain and fulfillment is right brain. It's like that spiritual fulfillment versus success. And yeah, it's, yeah, there's a whole conversation there, but I'll just leave it at that. Success is not fulfillment.
Yeah, there's several sub conversations going on here within the main conversation. Let's take it back to spiritual alignment. What does spiritual alignment mean for you?
For me, ultimately, and I'm conscious of how open this can get, but it's living in alignment to your purpose, right? So living your purpose. And then that still feels like, how do I feel like purpose is this nebulous thing? So from there, it gets really grounded. It's, hey, if you are spiritually inclined, let's see if we can put this foundation block in the conversation and just see how this resonates with you. You are the universe looking in on yourself, is this philosophical tenet. Yeah. You are the universe looking in on itself. So this is really trippy when you start to tune into it, but it's we all know it to be true to some degree. Like when I say it, no part of, every time I've introduced it to someone, no part of someone goes, oh, that's not true. And I said, no, actually most, like everyone I've introduced it to are like, oh yeah, I can get on board with that as a spiritual, doesn't matter what your religion is. Yeah, I am the universe and I'm looking in on myself. And then so you start to go, this is a bit of a trip, right? Now you can't discern too much about the nature of consciousness from that. But one of the things you can discern is that there's curiosity is pretty fundamental to the fabric of this particular universe that we're living in, right? It's a curious universe, right? In terms of why would it want to be looking in on itself? What is going on there? Like, why is Amrit having this conversation with Heather there when it is this unified field in what they call in quantum physics? Everything the mystics have been saying, it is all oneness, non-dual, and yet I'm experiencing this dual relationship with you over there, me over here. What is up with that? And it's okay, but I must be curious about something. Yeah, so when you can start to stand on this, okay, so what is my curiosity? Curiosity becomes something sacred, becomes something individual, something becomes your hallowed sacred ground to stand on. And so the way I visualize this, and I don't know if this visual makes sense to most people, but I don't know if you were a kid and you're like watching cartoons and they'd show you like looking out of a bee's eyes and there's these hexagonal sort of pattern shapes and everyone's look like you look out of this hexagonal world and there's all yellow and everything's tinted in yellow and you're looking at the whole world as it is, but through these hexagonal panes, like you're looking at your car window. But imagine just like tons and tons of hexagons just strapped in like to each other. And so each of those panes colors your perspective and the way you look at the universe. And that's your curiosity. So each of those panes is your point of curiosity. Now, in order to determine what those innate bits of curiosity, the reason the universe is looking on itself from Heider's perspective, the reason it's looking at itself through Amrit's perspective is to get really in touch and clear with what your values are. Each of those panes is one of your values. So my values, just using it as an example, touch wood, are connection, contribution, and celebration, right? So I'm here to connect, I'm here to contribute, I'm here to celebrate. That's the way the universe is looking in on itself through this experience of what we've labeled as Amrit, touch wood, right? So when I'm connecting and I'm contributing and I'm celebrating, I'm in spiritual alignment, right? Now I know how left brain logic it sounds to be like values, but my background's an engineer, right? So it's always going to be logical. But then the whole dimension of your spirit opens up. It's yes, your 3D persona, your personality lined up to your soul is literally determined by you living in alignment with your values. How do you determine your values? It's really easy. I've got a 20-minute masterclass on it. inspiredevolution.com/values. Anybody listening into this, you walk away over there 20 minutes from now, you will be, don't leave the podcast, but at the end of the podcast, you'll be as clear on your values as I am on mine 20 minutes from now.
Yeah, we'll make sure we'll put the links on the podcast so people can go.
Thanks, bro. So one of the questions, if I knew your values, let's just take myself as an example still, but I could run this experiment with you. It's like the corporate finance gig that you were in, like the corporate construction gig that I was in, was there an opportunity to connect? No. Ba-bom. Was there an opportunity to contribute? A little bit. I was building people's homes for them, right? So yeah, that's contributing. And then, but you could argue that's where I started to lose, when I had my existential crisis, I started to realize that this was just there were some people that were just buying these products as overseas investors and disrupting the housing market here in Australia. Anyway, I'm digressing down another rabbit hole. And then the third one is Celebration. Was there any Celebration in corporate? Ba-bow. So it met half a value of mine, top three. And even then it was my second value. So it wasn't aligned. Now, that is not to say that corporate construction is not a good gig. It's an epic gig for someone that loves and is in alignment to their values, but it wasn't in alignment to my values. Corporate finance, amazing gig for someone either, but for yourself, it's not in alignment to your particular value set. So when you take a look now, it's Amrit, what are you up to? It's like connection, contribution, celebration, podcasting. I'm connecting to you here today. I'm hopefully contributing. Hopefully people are getting some value from this podcast. And celebration, hopefully you leave life a little bit richer, fuller from having experienced this conversation and the tools that come from here. So connect, contribute, celebration, bing. And it's like coaching. Do I get to connect? Yes, really deeply, one-on-one. Do I get to contribute? Absolutely, touch wood. Do I get to celebrate? Hopefully we all live life a little bit richer for it. Public speaking, same thing. Connect, contribute, celebrate. So now you start to see it's absolutely, it takes some courage. Like I remember the first time I got on stage to speak, I was like, I gotta talk. Even the podcast, like I'd never wanted to start a podcast. And my mates were like, you need to start a podcast. And I was like, God, okay. There was a whole journey around that. And we ended up starting a podcast. But yeah, there's courage required to show up behind it. But there's also drudgery that's just there and misery. That's when you're not in alignment that you've been describing from your recent, you're fired. And then also, yeah, just career misalignment. So all of that to say, living in alignment, spiritually aligned, discover your values. It's bardevolution.com/values. If you can discover your values and start to make decisions, small and large, in alignment to those, it doesn't have to be drastic from the outset. Just start with little things. Yeah. You can start to pivot.
Amazing. Look, there's something nuanced about purpose for me. And I'm pretty sure you're articulating it actually, and you're using different words than the way I understand purpose. And for me, purpose, I think purpose is different from what you do, right? So my purpose is different from what I do. And for me, my purpose is to truly awaken to who I am. And that's the universe looking in on itself, right? And I think that's the purpose part for me, that as human beings, we have all come to try and understand that metaphysical relationship that's going on as we speak, which is very different from, hey, I'm here to connect, I'm here to grow, I'm here to contribute, right? Using your three values. Do you understand what I'm getting at? There's a nuance for know your purpose, know what you love to do, but recognize purpose for me is actually very deeply connected to spiritually awakening. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Absolutely. And there's a whole point in there that the easy access point to describe this, and I'm conscious I might don't want to alienate anybody. But yeah, the Gene Keys is something that I'm coached and guided on. I'm not sure if anybody's familiar with that body of work, but you get your Gene Keys profile.
Richard,
and
my mate Richard.
Richard Rudd, yes. Yeah. Okay, great. So if you are, it's like that people tuning into this podcast are as well. If you're not sure on what the Gene Keys are, just type in Gene Keys hologenetic profile and it'll give you your profile. It's based on astrology. I know what that sounds like. Oh, I'm going to put my dates in and all of a sudden I'm going to know who I am. Honestly, man, it blows me away just how accurate it is for so many people. But nonetheless, even the engineer in me is still skeptical, and yet I've been coaching on it for like years.
That's your logical, rational brain, bro, isn't it?
So epic, like the Gene Keys. One of the key things, the first sequence that they have is called a genius sequence. And this, again, just follow along. I promise it'll drop into making sense in a sec. They have two different keys, one for your life's work and another for purpose. And it's a great distillation, right? And again, the biggest challenge, biggest gift on that path, you've got your challenge key and you've got your radiance, which is like your shine, right? So again, challenge, gift, but your life's work is out there what you do for the world. And your purpose is over here what you do for yourself. And I think that opens up so much dimensionality, like you're describing around purpose. And it's so beautiful to have that awareness, right? Mm-hmm. Now, so we've parked that conversation, which is like, there is absolutely life's work purpose, which is why everybody conflates the word purpose to me.
Exactly.
Right? But it's not necessarily that's just one aspect of your purpose, and that's actually your life's work. And it's cooler calling it your life's work because it's just one dimension, whereas your purpose is spiritually why you're here. I would invite into the conversation your awareness and potentially try this on for size. I'm conscious when I speak in absolute terms because it's my truth, so I get very passionate about it, touch wood. But the connection, contribution, celebration, those are my value. Those have shown up in my challenge. Those have shown up in my gifts. When I was depressed, it's because I couldn't connect authentically. I wasn't contributing. There was no celebration. So even my own spiritual purpose for myself is to connect internally, is to contribute to myself, is to celebrate my being, touch wood. And then out there for the world is like, how do I facilitate greater levels of connection, contribution, and celebration? So I do think values ride all the way in and all the way out. But I do agree with you that we shouldn't conflate life's work with purpose.
Look, I love the way you've linked that. And that's really opened up my perspective on it and how values are intrinsically linked to purpose. I've never heard it explained like that. And I'm, oh yeah, wow, that makes sense. That actually makes sense. And for me, I know when it resonates with me, my body reacts. So thank you, bro.
Of course, brother. An absolute pleasure. Thank you.
So how long does it take to do the masterclass to establish your value? You said 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
And this is I was going to suggest doing a live one, right? Because there's an old Eastern saying that I love. Tell me and I may forget.
Yeah.
Like, teach me and I may remember. Involve me and I'm going to learn. And that's the kind of philosophy and outlook I like to bring here. But I'm conscious of time as well. And I'm conscious we may not have 20 minutes to do it for me because I've not done the value exercise for ages. So maybe there's like a creation of doing like a 5-minute one or something that we put out there. let's see if we can create one. So look, there's something else that you said earlier on in the conversation around success and fulfillment. And again, I hear this word a lot, success in spirituality, in business circles, in every domain of life, every dimension of life. What is success to you? What does it mean to you?
Okay, so let's go all the way in on this one. So there are, generally speaking, and you come across this from many different spiritual teachers, there are fundamentally four levels of consciousness, right? You can argue there were five, and five is interesting because level zero was the point where basically it's pre-language, right? Pre the technology of language being present. So that's zero. So we'll just call them 1, 2, 3, 4 from now. And this is taught in all different schools of thought, but nonetheless, they all coalesce to this particular distillation. And I'm conscious the question's about success, but I'm just providing some context so we can really understand this in a really deep way. So level one consciousness, life is happening to you. Yeah, life happens to me. Right, that's level one consciousness. I'm like, I'm participating in life and boom, this happened. Okay, now I react to that. Boom, this happened and now I react to that. And boom, this happened and I react to that. In that state, there's probably better languaging that's available here, but for my model, I call level one consciousness person the victim. Yeah. And it just makes it easy to identify. Some people know people that are tuning in this podcast that are consistently victimized from life. Life is just happening to them and they are victims of life. Yeah, touch wood. And that's just a state of consciousness that they're carrying. That's level one consciousness. I will just preface, I hate the word levels because it sounds superior and all that sort of stuff.
We're all on a journey. Yeah.
We're all on a journey. Yeah. I prefer the word spectrum, whatever. It just explains the model easier if I can just run with it. So grant me that grace. So level one consciousness is the victim. Level two consciousness, is the achiever. Life is happening by me. Yeah, so I can set some goals and I can achieve some things. Level two is the achiever. Yeah. So I can set this goal, achieve that, set that goal, achieve this, set this goal, achieve. Sneak peek, this is greatly where success lives. Yeah.
Yep.
Level three consciousness, I'm still toying with the terms, but life is in this point is happening for you. Yeah. So nothing is in the way, it's on the way. So my biggest challenge is my biggest gift. Life is happening for me. So I was gifted that challenge of career misalignment. You were gifted the opportunity to get expelled from that job so that you could go into where you were meant to go. Life is happening for you. This person is the flower. or The Surrenderer. I don't know which one you want to call them, one and the same. So that's where I'm still toying with the terms. But you're learning to surrender, you're dropping into greater flow, but like life flow. Yeah. So that's that. That's that. That's level three. And just to round out the conversation, level four, life is happening as you. You are one. That's that non-dual space, unity, ooh, consciousness. And those are the four levels of consciousness, right?
That hit my heart, that one, bro.
Yeah. That, yeah.
That one hit my heart.
So all of that to say, now we can have a real, now that we've got this framework of like to me, by me, for me, as me, and these four levels, we can have a real clear conversation of like why success works and why it doesn't. Success cannot be demonized. We dare not demonize success, right? Because your whole level two consciousness self, it like kicked victimization's ass and got to level two and really lived this whole reality like out by like setting goals and achieving things. And you've got worldly success. And there's a whole conversation around you can't spiritual bypass, right? Touch wood. It's not healthy to. Like ultimately you got success by setting these goals and achieving them, setting these goals and achieving them. And at a certain point you realize, yes, I'm setting goals and achieving them. Yes, I'm setting goals and achieving them, but there's more to it. Right? There's more to it. And that's actually an awakening unto itself. Right? You're cracking into level three. Right? When you get into that level three consciousness, life is happening for me. What is the meaning of that? What is the fulfillment here? And that's where fulfillment starts to land. So both are really solid orientations. Success is not better than fulfillment. Fulfillment is not better than success. Oh, I'm going to say this, and this is the first time I've said it, and I'm conscious the podcast is called Inspired Evolution, so maybe I should lean into it a little bit. I would say fulfillment is more evolved than success as an orientation, but they're both really robust orientations, right? The achiever is only achieving because he's directed towards success. And that's what dug him out of victim level one consciousness, right? So level three consciousness, if you're moving into that space, now it's all about surrender and flow. But you can't go from a victim to surrender and flow. It rarely works that way, right? Like you've got to actually dig yourself up into achievement and success. And then you've got to dig it and then realize that, oh, this wasn't for me. And then dig yourself out into this flowing surrender, life is happening for me kind of space. Does that explain it?
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. I love it. Again, that's really opened up the space of applying a very concise and precise model of success. And I'm going to plagiarize that one, bro.
With your permission. There's no plagiarization.
So as you were saying that, I was like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking to myself, okay, yes, agree with everything that's been said. And actually, I've lived everything that's been said because at one moment, and there have been divine moments where I have recognized it and I felt that I am life. I have a life. This isn't my life. I am life, which is the kind of level four that you're talking about. And of course, it's not linear, right? So the very next day, I've been triggered by a parking fine and I'm going, oh, fucking hell.
And there's wisdom in that because some people, again, with the terminology of levels, it's, oh, now I've graduated and I'm here. It's, oh, man, it's a spectrum and you're slipping and sliding all over the space all the time.
Exactly. I think it's very important to make that point that none of this stuff is linear. That we're all here on a path, or on a journey. And maybe the end goal is, I don't believe there ever is an end goal. It is spiritual enlightenment. And we are grandmasters. We are become ascending masters. Who knows? And part of that is the understanding we're going to live those levels, the model that you just so eloquently explained. And that's okay. There's the surrender and the acceptance in every single one of those levels. Make sense?
Totally.
Look, I know we are coming up to time. And again, this is the Human Potential Podcast. I know we've given people the kind of opportunity and invitation to go check out values and how that's intrinsically linked to spiritual awakening, to fulfillment, to success, to everything that we've discussed. Would like to finish off with one last kind of tool that really changed your life, right? A tool, awareness, something you were like, wow, that's amazing. That's a massive breakthrough I've just had.
There's two that come to mind immediately. I'm so greedy. It's like, I don't like greedy. I'm Indian. Like we love all the herbs and spices. You make me choose one over the other. It's just, yeah, it's, let me write them down so I don't forget really quickly. Sorry, the other one's already escaping me. So one of the first ones was the realization that the whole conversation around past, present, and future. Yeah. And depression, presence, and anxiety. Yeah, like just that quick distillation. I know I'm introducing a massive topic really fast, but therein lies this real, yeah, just the awareness that if I'm thinking about the past, it's depressing. Oh, I should have, or I wish I could have, or I wonder if I had done, oh, I wonder what that. You can already feel you're depressing. These thoughts are like suppressing you, right? And you can't express your authentic, true self into that. So every time you're thinking about the past, it's a depressing thought. Yeah. And it's totally fine to think about the past. Yeah. Because that's actually what helped us come to this realization of living in where we are today. Like being able to learn from our mistakes is really what's evolved society in a great way. Simultaneously, living in the future is purely anxiety. Oh, I'm going to, or I wonder what's going to happen. Or I think, and your system, you can just feel when those questions start to get jacked and like hijacked into, I wonder what's going to happen, into worry, into, oh, this is going to happen in the future. Oh, I wonder if that's going to work out. I wonder if, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But you look back and you go, man, I've made it this far. I'm completely intact. What the fuck? Where is all that coming from? Nonetheless, spending time in the future is anxiety provoking. Yeah. And so again, nothing wrong with thinking about the future. Very important to set goals. I'm a coach, for Christ's sake. Right. But at the same time, spending most of your time in the future or most of your time in the past is where you end up in depression or anxiety, right? If you can bring yourself to the present moment, and it, again, the tool is just mindfulness. Count your breaths is like my favorite one, yeah? Just counting your breath and just coming back in the present moment. In the present moment, everything's a gift, right? So I'm talking to someone on the other side of the world that's similar to me, got similar roots and origins. We've got similar passions. What is actually going on? The world is awakening, touch wood. Like, wow, present moment. You're all tuning in. Similar vibe and frequency. Wow, present moment. So it's this whole trip. So therein lies one of the biggest sort of drop-ins, which when I was working with Eckhart Tolle, just got in like into this place where I was like, oh, that just makes like supreme sense. And then the tool being mindfulness. But also the context, as you probably tell from the podcast, being an engineer, I need to understand why. And then from there, the tools just like, they fit in easy, right? But if I can really understand the why I'm implementing the tool, we're good. If you just hand me a tool and it's, oh, just be mindful. It's, yeah, I know it's good for me, but I'll get around to it. So hopefully this podcast, people are tuning into it and they really understand now the importance of your values and living in alignment and not living in alignment, and you'll work your way to discovering them.
Wow, love that. I think that's a great place to stop. Present moment consciousness, present moment awareness. Eckhart Tolle, one of my favorite, all-time favorite spiritual teachers. This is a great place to stop and wrap it up, bro. Look, just want to say massive thank you for coming on. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. Thank you for sharing your love, your energy, your frequency. I know people are going to love this. I'm wishing you a beautiful day in sunny Australia.
Oh, hi there. Thank you so much for having me, bro. Really inspired by what you're creating here. And yeah, it's an absolute honor to be here and just share time and space with you and just a fellow seeker. And just the vibes, man. I love what you're creating here. Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, for those tuning in, thank you so much for spending the time to tune in. You could be doing anything with your time and here you are spending it with us. So that really means a lot. And I genuinely hope you take the time to discover your values. InspiredEvolution.com/values. If you're keen, check out the podcast, youtube.com/inspiredevolution. If you're keen for coaching, amrit.coach is the website. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us on this incredible journey of exploring human potential. Now, it's your turn to take action and unleash your own greatness. Head over to soulful-awakening.com/free and opt in for lots of free transformational tools. Embrace the knowledge and insights you've gained and start implementing them in your life today. Remember, the world is waiting for your incredible potential to shine.